but Nigeria has a secret weapon, democracy. Academics Darren Asmugla and James Robinson, authors of Why Nations Fail, argue that authoritarian states that free up their economies get a short-term boost, but it doesn't last because sustained success requires inclusive capitalism and democracy. That's what is happening in China now. A wave of autocratic leaders post-Deng hasn't been able to resist reasserting control of the economy and reversing many of his reforms. As they have done so, growth has cooled. Nigeria's democracy may be imperfect, but it's democracy. Since the end of military rule in 1999, Nigeria has had five elections of increasing validity. In 2015, an opposition candidate won and came to power peacefully. No small achievement in sub-Saharan Africa. An entire generation of Nigerians has no memory of undemocratic government. It has a mostly free press and a vibrant civil society. Successive civilian governments have moved to protect democracy by reducing what has traditionally been the greatest threat, the military. They have deliberately coup-proof the country by weakening the army, retiring its senior leaders, and repositioning it as an internal security force that is scattered across the country. According to GlobalFirepower.com, the Nigerian army now ranks 44th out of 137 countries, which puts it somewhere between Peru and Denmark, and well behind South Africa. Investors aren't moving into Nigeria yet, but they're watching. The talk used to be about the economic potential of the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. Now it's mint, Mexico, Indonesia, Nigeria, and Turkey. Right now, Nigeria is seen as just too hard, but there's a wall of money waiting to come in if it gets it right. Ayusa Muja says, according to Orjai, Nigeria is just a few tweaks away from being an attractive place for investors. Look at South Korea, he says. All it took was changing one thing, the landholding law. That change allowed larger farms, which enabled farmers to invest in mechanization.